You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others. You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie explains the way the devil often deceives us.
He'll whisper in your ear, you know what? I won't tell anyone if you won't. Just do it once. Come on. So you say, okay. Now the devil comes back in and says, you pathetic hypocrite. Look at you. Don't even think about showing your ugly face in church again. This is his strategy. He's a liar and the father of lies.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Forget you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
And we're glad you're joining us today here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. And Pastor Greg will begin today's message in just a moment. Harvest America with Greg Laurie, a nationwide evangelistic event September 28th and 29th that you can bring to your community with music from The Cray, Kurt Franklin, Need to Breathe, Jeremy Camp, Mercy Me. Pray about who you can bring who needs to hear the gospel. Then invite them. Then bring them with you to any of the Harvest America locations listed at harvestamerica.com.
God's word will not return void. If it's in person, if it's live via HD video stream, God will use it.
Harvest America with Greg Laurie, September 28th and 29th. Details at harvestamerica.com. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg helps us see the devil's tactics in the light of day. We'll see how he and his minions are constantly trying to lure us into sin and then condemn us once we fall. Let's listen as Pastor Greg begins.
Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and the title of our message is Angels and Demons Part 2. This is a part of our series that we have been exploring together that we're calling Essentials, What Every Christian Needs to Know. And we've been talking a little bit about this invisible world, this supernatural world, this world filled with these mysterious creatures that the Bible calls angels that surround the believer in any given moment. So where did demons come from? Short answer, demons are fallen angels. Again, demons are fallen angels. As hard as it is for us to believe, there was a rebellion in the angelic world with many of the angels turning against God and becoming evil. Over in Jude chapter 6, we read that the angels did not keep their own position but left their proper dwelling. They rebelled against God, and that rebellion was led by another high-ranking angel by the name of Lucifer. Lucifer means star of the morning, which he once was. Satan means accuser, which he now is. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And when Satan fell, he did not fall alone, but he took one third of the angels with him. Now, the devil is described many ways in the Bible. One illustration is he is the father of lies. John 8:44, Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil. He's a liar and the father of lies." Listen, sometimes the devil can just outright lie and a person believes it. He's like, good. Other people, they're a little more discerning, so he'll candy coat his lie with enough truth to make it appealing, but enough error to make it lethal. And here's an illustration of that, the text that we've turned to, Genesis 3, verse 1. Here is now the fallen angel Lucifer coming to Eve as a serpent and tempting her. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said, "You shall not surely die. God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Right off the bat, we can see where the problem is. Eve was at the wrong place, at the wrong time, listening to the wrong voice. Why was she hanging around the one place God told her to avoid? God said to not eat of the forbidden fruit, and here's Eve, just sort of like, you know, leaning against the tree. Yeah. Seemed like a good place to hang out, the one place God said to stay away from. It's like telling a little child, whatever you do, don't open that cookie jar. You know what that child's going to do. We're the same way. So she listened to the wrong voice. How does he come? As a serpent or a snake. You know, snakes are not affectionate animals. I don't know if they feel any emotion. Their brain is pretty limited. You know, cold-blooded animals, they tend to like warmth. You know, that's why you'll find them sunning themselves on a stone, or they'll wrap around a person's arm, preferably their neck if they can, because of the warmth it provides. But they are clever, and they're able to get out of the tightest little spaces. Here's another little thing about snakes that's interesting. Did you know that the venom of a baby rattlesnake is more potent than an adult? Have you ever seen a baby rattler? They're actually kind of cute in a weird way, because everything's just miniaturized, you know, and you look at this little rat, you know, oh, look at the little baby rattler, you know. You pick him up, oh, look at his little baby fangs, oh, the baby rattler, you know. Yeah. It's cute and deadly. In the same way, we'll say, oh, look at the little baby sin. It's just a small little compromise, you know. I can do this little thing one time. It will never lead to anything else. I can handle this one thing. Watch out now. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. Don't ever say, I'll never fall in this one area. No matter what, shut up. That's probably the area you'll end up falling in because you're so arrogant. The Bible says pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Don't ever say, I would never fall in this area. You don't know what you're capable of, okay? You just keep your guard up at all times, because it's these little deals we make with the devil, so to speak, meaning the little compromises, the small things that we lower our guard on that lead to bigger things later. Most people did not fall for a big sin straight away. It was a series of smaller things that led to the big thing, right? Satan is smart. Don't underestimate him. Keep your guard up and watch your thoughts. Because most temptations are going to start right here. The devil's going to come and just say, wouldn't it be fun to... And you have a choice. You can say, no. Sound effects here. A lot of sound effects today. I don't know why. You have a choice. See, here's the thing. You can be sitting in church with your Bible open on your lap, listening, and all of a sudden the devil comes with just a totally twisted thought. And you can't even believe this thought just came to you. Oh, whoa, hello. Can anyone see this thing here right now? It's just like, this is not good. And then the devil, he's so clever, he says, how could you actually think that sitting in church? What's wrong with you? I don't know. You know, you are such a hypocrite. Yeah, I guess I am. You ought to get up and leave right now. I think I'll get up and leave right now. Stop that. Listen, it's not a sin to be tempted. The sin is not in the bait, it's in the bite. Just because bait was dangled before you doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Let me restate that. If you never get tempted, I wonder what's wrong with you. The very fact that you are moving forward spiritually means you will get tempted because the devil wants to bring you down. So if you face temptation and attack, that probably means you're doing something right. And the devil will come with things that are enticing, things that are appealing. Remember that verse says the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. That fruit looked good, man. And she gave in, but we must resist. We must not even allow that thought to enter into our own thought processes and end up wanting that thing and even worse, doing that thing. And those temptations are going to come. And they're never going to stop. And they're going to change. And he's going to adapt. Just like if you're, you know, playing tennis with someone. And you're rallying for serve. So you're just, the ball's going back and forth across the net. And you go, oh, they're kind of weak back there. Oh, there's another vulnerability. So, you know, you're going to play with them for a bit. And then you're going to start scoring points because you want to win the game. So the devil will, well, let's rally for serve. Let's see what you got. Okay, oh, you're strong there. Oh, you're strong here. So, oh, you're weak there. Oh, you're weak over here too. Okay, good. Got good to know that. Then he'll start lobbing them here and lobbing them. Oh, I see the area where you were strong. You're not as strong as you were before. I'm going to hit you here now. It's always going to keep coming, okay? So that's why we have to always keep our guard up. The devil never takes a day off, and we can't take a day off from spiritual battle. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And we are either winning or losing. We're either advancing or retreating. So let's keep our guards up. Let's keep our minds protected because the Bible tells us that we are to bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. So the devil attacks Eve. She gives in to it. The devil attacks us. Now here's how his strategy works, and you have to admit it's quite clever. First he'll come as the enticer, then he'll come as the accuser. Let me repeat that. First he'll come as the enticer, the tempter, then he'll come as the accuser. It starts like this. He'll whisper in your ear, you know what? You deserve a break today. You work so hard. You know, you're such a committed Christian. Oh, by the way, I'm so proud of you, too. You're doing a great job. You're so holy. And you're so wonderful. In fact, you're so strong, it wouldn't even matter if you compromise in this little area or give in a little over here because, I mean, look how strong you are and it'll be fun. And you know what? Besides, everybody else is doing it. And I'll tell you what, I won't tell anyone if you won't. Just do it once. Come on. So you say, oh, no, okay. And you do it. Now the devil comes back to you and says, you pathetic hypocrite. Look at you. You call yourself a Christian after what you just did? You call yourself a follower of Jesus? Don't even think about showing your ugly face in church again. Don't open the Bible. That would be so hypocritical to read the Bible. Don't pray. Don't you dare call out to God. That would be so wrong. And you know, the thing is, we'll listen to this stuff and we'll believe this stuff. This is his strategy. First he's a tempter, then he comes to us as the accuser. The Bible calls him the one who accuses us before God day and night. So here's the thing. When you sin, you're going to feel guilt. And that's a good thing. Did you know guilt can be good? You know what guilt is? It means your conscience is working. The time to be concerned is when you don't feel guilt. The time to be concerned is when you can sin against God again and again and feel no remorse or sense of wrongdoing. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Which means that when you, a son or daughter, goes astray, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin and say, that's wrong. He'll call you on it because He loves you. Don't do that. That's wrong. Stop it now. Just like a father, just like a mother reproves their child. You know, I correct my own children. I don't correct someone else's, though I would like to at times. You know, you see a child talking back to his mom and just being naughty, and you feel like saying, let me step in here. No, you can't do that. That's not my privilege, but it is with my children. And the same way God disciplines His own children. So if you're without discipline, if you can do things that you know are wrong and you don't feel remorse, I have to wonder, are you a child of God? But if you feel busted the moment you cross the line and come under the conviction of the Spirit, I say hallelujah, your conscience is working. And the Spirit is working. Now, here's what we need to know. When I feel bad for the wrong that I've done, I need to respond appropriately. We need to know the difference between the Spirit's conviction and the devil's accusations. The devil will use your sins in a hateful way to drive you away from the cross. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your sins in a loving way to bring you to the cross. Let me put it another way. Satan will always try to keep you from the cross. The Holy Spirit will always bring you to the cross. Here's how it works. You've sinned. You know you've sinned. Oh, no, I can't believe I just did that. Okay, the devil says, run, go, get away. Don't go to God. Holy Spirit says, repent now. So right there in the spot, Lord, I'm sorry. I know that was wrong. I repent of that sin. I ask you to forgive me right now in Jesus' name. That's what you need to do. Go straight to the cross. The devil said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. Why? Because he knows that when you're forgiven, you're right with God. And then after you've asked God for forgiveness, you don't need to keep going over and over it again. You should not choose to remember what God has chosen to forget. Your God has a big eraser. And if He's used it in your life, then be thankful. Your sin is not only forgiven, but it's forgotten. Because God has said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But in contrast, oh, the devil will try to drive you away in despair. Don't listen to him. As I pointed out, he is a liar and he is the father of lies. And maybe you've joined us here today, and most of you have. But maybe as you're listening to this message, you're thinking, well, I do feel guilty for my sin, and I feel unworthy, and I don't feel like I'm good enough to be a Christian. Well, first of all, let me say, you are unworthy. You don't deserve it, but I don't either. You don't deserve God's love, nor do I, but God does love you, and He will forgive you. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a cross and took the penalty for every wrong you've ever done upon Himself. He took every sin that every one of us had committed, and He paid the price for it, and He rose again from the dead. And I don't care what you've done, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, will forgive you right now if you will acknowledge your sin and turn from it and put your faith in Him. And if you've asked Him into your life, then maybe you've been living a compromised life. You've been playing with those baby rattlers, so to speak, that have turned out to have a pretty potent bite. You don't know quite how you've gotten into the mess you're in, but you would like to get out of it. I'm going to ask you to call out to the Lord today as we close now in prayer. Let's all bow our heads. And Father, I pray for every person here, every person listening to this message. Help each one to put their faith in You and find Your forgiveness. This moment we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Closing prayer from Pastor Greg Laurie. And if you'd like Pastor Greg's help in making a change in your relationship with the Lord, please do stay with us. Today's study is titled Angels and Demons Part 2. And if you'd like a permanent copy you can add to your resource library, give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300. We'll be glad to help you with the ordering details. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, you know, Pastor Greg, several months ago I had to get a new computer.
Okay.
And when I unpackaged the thing, amidst all the different paperwork that came with it, was a quick start guide.
Mm.
It was kind of a Cliff Notes version of how to operate this new computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that really helpful because when you open the computer, you want to get right to it.
Right.
Well, I know that your new book, Essentials, really helps us get to the heart of what the Christian life is all about.
Yeah, it really does, Dave. You know, there's many fine books out there on the topic of theology. And by the way, Dave, every Christian should have a growing library. One of the best investments of your money is in good Christian books. So I hope that you are building a library. And here at A New Beginning, we're trying to help you in that regard. So here's some new additions that you could put in to go alongside your fine theological books. It's a new book I've written called Essentials Part 2. Now, there's also an Essentials Part 1, and there's a study guide as well. And this book, or these books, I should say, deal with, well, foundational truths that every Christian needs to know. Essential things. Things you need a working knowledge of, like who is God, who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, and much, much more. So we're offering a special resource to you right now that we're calling the Essentials Package. It's Essentials 1 and Essentials 2, along with a study guide to support Volume 1. And I hope our listeners will add this to their growing library.
All right, and we're making that package available to thank you for your donation right now. You choose the gift amount, and then be sure to ask for this Essentials Package. Again, we'll send you Essentials Volume 1 and the study guide that goes with it, and also the new book, Essentials 2, Foundational Topics for Christians in Today's World. So get in touch today. You can take care of all the details online if you'd like at harvest.org or call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300. And you can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Well, Pastor Greg, if there's somebody listening to us right now who knows that they need this offer of salvation from Jesus Christ you were talking about just a moment ago, what's the next step?
I would say the next step is that you have to recognize you're a sinner and be sorry for your sin and ask God to forgive you. And the way that we do that is through prayer. That's how we communicate with God. So I would like to lead those people listening, you that are listening, that do not yet know Jesus Christ in a word of prayer. If you want Christ to come into your heart, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that when you die you will go to heaven, pray this prayer with me right now. God, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for what I've done, and I turn from my sin now and ask for you to forgive me. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to shed his blood for me. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. Be my God and be my friend. I want to follow you from this day forward. So fill me with your Spirit and help me to be your disciple. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I am now yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg and you've meant it sincerely, Jesus has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to welcome you into the family of God. But this is just the beginning of your new life as a Christian. And we'd like to offer some help in the form of something we call our New Believers Growth Packet. We'll send it to you free of charge or obligation if you've made a first-time commitment to Christ today. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Well, as you know, Harvest America is just 3 weeks away, and your support is critical. And there's a unique way to support this outreach when you shop online with retailers such as Walmart or Best Buy or Amazon or a dozen others. It's easy. There's no sign-up, and it costs you nothing extra. Just start your shopping at shop.harvest.org. And then click on any of those retailers, and then a portion of each purchase will go to Harvest Ministries. Tell your friends and help us reach further during Harvest America by starting your shopping online at shop.harvest.org.
The City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, the epicenter of American freedom. September 28th and 29th, it'll be the epicenter of spiritual freedom for viewers from coast to coast. Harvest America with Greg Laurie.
He came to pay a debt he did not owe because you owe a debt you could not pay.
On one epic weekend, viewers from across the country will come together for two powerful evenings about what's most important. It's finally here, Harvest America from Philadelphia. Last year, more than 2,400 venues participated. Over 300,000 people heard the gospel. More than 15,000 made professions of faith. This year, we'll help you reach that loved one who needs the Lord so desperately. Go to harvestamerica.com and enter your email where it says, "Keep me informed." Have a part in the largest evangelistic event on the planet this year. Harvest America, September 28th and 29th.
Next time, important insight on what's to come in the events of the end times. A close look at Armageddon next time. Hope you'll tune in.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, "Thank You, Jesus."
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war, a war between truth and deception. Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
Oh, my brother, we are in danger. Psalm 4 to the chief musician on Neganoth. Generally understood as to be how this ought to be played. I want this with stringed instruments, strings. It's a Psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Alternate translation there is, be gracious to me and hear my prayer. What is the basis all the way through the Psalms and all the way through the whole Bible when people are appealing to God for anything? The basis is never merit. God, I deserve this. Basis of our request is always, God, your mercy, your good. And as it is here, be gracious to me. Have mercy upon me. Verse 2, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. That's a good and legitimate rhetorical question. And God asks many times. I will remind you again that God, the Lord Jesus himself, confronted Saul of Tarsus and said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why? The Lord asks these legitimate questions. Verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Do you ever commune with your own heart? Do you ever have a little talk with yourself? And you know the best place to do that is on your bed. Commune with your own heart on your bed and be still. On your bed, the place where people lay down to fret, rehearse the conflicts of the day. You know, there and then, commune with your own heart. Just be still. Verse 5 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Many are asking, who will show us? A lot of people asking that. To me, they wouldn't just ask the Lord. This is what the psalmist says. Here David says, do this. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. Yeah, this is a reality. Many are asking this. Who's going to show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. The light of thy countenance is a nice way of saying, Lord, will you shine your light on us? Will you show us your favor? Cause the light of your countenance to shine upon us. God, just give us a break. Show us your favor. The pagans, especially the pagans under the whole Greco-Roman pantheon of invented gods, were always trying to do something to get themselves in good favor with the gods. Just the one thing they wanted was good favor. God, you know, the gods, they prayed for their favor. In fact, they used a term that we in English call grace. And they used that as a greeting and as a goodbye, too. Hey, may the gods be with you. Grace. But it became the greeting of the Christians. And the Apostle Paul put it together with shalom, Hebrew shalom, peace. Grace and peace, the favor of God, and with that, the peace of God. From God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the opening of all these epistles. The light of God's countenance shining upon us. Here, David said in verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart. More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Harvest time, happiest time in their culture. The wheat. And the harvest has been abundant. Oh, it means good times. And the harvest is abounding. It's bountiful. And at the same time, the wheat and the grapes. And with it, the wine and the celebration. The happiest and highest time of the whole year for Israel, for an agricultural people like them, was the time of harvest. And David said, you've done something in me. You put gladness in my heart. That is greater, is more than what they know from their corn and their wine. And he says again what he says back in chapter 3, what he says in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I will remind you again, it's the word will. I will, I choose to. I will lay me down, both lay me down, and I will sleep in peace. In confidence that you, God, are you. You're the only one that can make me safe. The only one that makes me dwell in safety. I think there is a problem with you and me that all the times when we don't do as David is expressing to the Lord, we find ourselves in mental torment. We find ourselves there a lot. I think it's unnecessary. Find ourselves afraid a lot and feeding the fear with entertaining all of the scenarios, all of the worst things that could happen. We worry too much, Christians. You know, the Lord Jesus addressed that in the Sermon on the Mount. He addressed that a lot. About, man, you know what, guys, just take no thought, no anxious thought, worrying about what are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? How are you going to have your basic needs met? He goes, if you're worrying, if you're obsessing like that, you're serving mammon. He said you can't serve God and mammon or God and money. In the context he said it in, he wasn't talking at some big network marketing convention where everybody's all greedy and wear their gold and bling. He's talking to a bunch of poor people in Galilee who are tempted to worry about the basics. And he's telling them that worrying about that is serving mammon. Worrying. Psalm 5. Any of you guys familiar with our singing Psalm 5? Remember way back? It used to be one of those psalms that we sang a lot. Just the first part of it. Anyway, give ear to my words, O Lord. Again, this is to the chief musician upon Nigeloth, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Pause for a second. Anywhere you are on earth, any time of the day, heaven is up. It's from outside this world. The Lord Jesus directed his prayers up. He would lift his hands. It was a familiar Jewish posture to raise your hands in prayer, raising them upward and directing our attention upward beyond this world, beyond even everything that's above us in the great expanse of space. Up. David said, I will do this in the morning and I will look up. The answers for us are not going to be found in this world, but up. How about this part? The morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer. Can I remind you that morning, as defined by these people, comes in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. The day begins for them at sundown. One day ends and another one begins at sundown. So I'm a firm believer that you got to have time with the Lord every single day. And the best time to do that is before the day happens for you. And in this room, there's only two kinds of people. Those who really like morning, really like to talk when you first wake up, and those who do not. And I myself am not one of those. I rise early. I rise early and just get busy. For me, the best time is after everybody else in my house is sleeping. The best time for me is before the sleep, before I spend my time in my study with the Lord. At that time, it's good. It's quiet. Now, you got to have a conversation going with the Lord all day long. But officially, it's got to start somewhere. And there is an outline given to us by the Lord Jesus himself. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's an outline. Use that as your format. Use that. These are the things that daily prayer should include. When do you do that? Do you have a commute in the morning? That's a good time. I had one friend that was so committed to getting regimented, so committed that he's going to every single day discipline himself that he will pray and work through his prayer, that he determined, this one particular friend, he determined that when he got up in the morning, he would not pray, he would not pee before he prayed. That'll get it done. That'll get you connecting with. But he just was one of those people that needed a trigger, something to remind him, you know. Some people have the discipline before their feet hit the floor, you know. They're going to set their heart in the right direction. Whatever works for you. But here, David, he explains it in the morning. In the morning. In other words, before the day begins, before we enter this whole fray, before we go into this, I'm going to meet with you. In the morning, Lord, I'll direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Verse 40 said, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I'll come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. The term foolish in both Psalms and Proverbs doesn't mean, as it is typically used in English, like every town, you know, you have the village idiot or the fool, somebody who was intellectually challenged. There was an intellectual deficiency. That's not what that's talking about. That English word used here talks about someone who is morally deficient. No matter how much intellect he has, he's a fool because he doesn't understand the most basic thing. He doesn't humble himself before God and acknowledge that God is God. That's truly what a fool is, biblically. That's why the proverb says the fool is set in his, I'm sorry, the psalm says the fool is set in his heart, there's no God. It's the fool, the morally deficient, that says there's no God. It doesn't say the fool believes there's no God. The fool says in his heart, convinces himself of something. It's the fool. The foolish shall not stand in your sight. It is also the first psalm we read that, the ungodly, contrasting the blessed man with the ungodly man. The ungodly will not stand in the congregation. A person who comes to the conclusion, who says in his heart, there's no God, is only doing it because he doesn't want there to be a God. He doesn't want it to be so. The person that says, I am an atheist, only says that because he has an agenda for life, and submitting to God is not going to allow it. So he has to convince himself, now there's no God. No God at all. That's the foolish that David speaks of here. But he ends that in verse 7, but as for me, I will come to your house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. That's pretty gross description. And that's not a statement about really, really bad breath. Like, you know, dude, your throat's an open sepulcher, like a rotting grave. A sepulcher. Do you guys know a sepulcher is where you'd put a sarcophagus? Do you know what a sarcophagus is? It's the flesh rotter. A sepulcher is a grave statement. It's about the wickedness. It very much states what the Lord Jesus would later say. When he would say, it's not what goes into a person that makes him dirty. It's what comes out of a person. It's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of a man. And this, with regard to the faithlessness of the foolish man, the mouth, there's no faithfulness in it. And their inward part is very or utterly wicked. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. It's quite a statement. Compass him, crown him, however you translate it. Listen, you guys, everything you just read is ultimately going to happen. The meek will inherit the earth. The Lord, God will ultimately destroy all of the wicked. Everyone who, whenever this deadline approaches, that God decides it's it. Judgment. Time's up. The Lord Jesus will come to this earth to put down and utterly crush all rebellion against him. And everything here written in this fourth psalm is going to happen. It will be fulfilled. And they will be cast out. The earth will belong to the meek, to God's people. Psalm 6, verse 1. This is also subtitled, To the Chief Musician on Neginoth upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. And that is strings, but he's also indicating that he wants it in a sort of a lower type of octave. He's even given the feel to the chief musician that he wants from Psalm 6. Psalm 6, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. In other words, this song was to have a feel musically, and that's what he's telegraphing to the chief musician. It is that kind of thing, probably in a minor key. Rebuke me not, God, in thine anger. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee in the grave. Who shall give thee thanks? I'm weary with my groaning all the night. I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. There will come a time, you guys, when we're all going to be together in heaven. And I'm going to do all I can to round everybody up for a big concert with David. And just get him to play these songs for us. Tell us the backstory. Give us the whole, let me tell you what was happening. And then just sing this thing. And then, of course, we'll all know Hebrew. We'll hear in the original language. We'll hear all of the way it was as he poured it out. This is, to me, no question in my mind, one of the blues psalms. Not a happy psalm, is it? And you guys have this one on a plaque on your wall anywhere? The psalm of great anxiety. But I'll tell you something. When you are in trouble and when you are in agony, and that will happen in life, when you are, you will find it comforting to know that somebody else also was. It's strangely comforting to know that someone else once hurt. I don't know why. It's comforting to see that someone else also did like we are at that time, and that they lived through it. They called out to God in it. If there haven't been yet, there will be times in your life when you will turn to such a psalm as this sixth one and others like it. And in your agony, you'll just go, yeah, man, David said it, what he said, God. When that time comes, please take note of how the psalm ends, that the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 7, it's got a connotation that's difficult for me to pronounce. Shigalon of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. The guy had some words. David's response, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and slay mine honor in the dust, Selah, or lay my honor in the dust. Let him, if I am as guilty as they say, arise, O Lord. In thine anger lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes, therefore return thou on high.
Hey, thanks for listening to God's Word today. Before we close the show, we'd like to tell you about a special ministry here at Calvary Chapel.
What we find in Scripture, speaking about binding up what is broken.
I'm Peggy Brunin. I'm the director of a program called Blessed Hope, which is a women's drug and alcohol program. It's not really about drugs and alcohol. It's about God restoring your life.
Seven Oaks is the men's program. It's a residential program, primarily through a relationship with God, and then through daily discipline and work.
I was just always trying to find something that was going to fix what was missing.
Searching for someone that, something that would accept me. I found it in drugs.
My addictions, they always kind of had a hold of me, but really my life spun way out of control.
One night I ended up taking a little bit too much and found me just blue, sitting in a chair, not breathing at all.
Daily regimens of just being in the Word of God and in prayer and constant fellowship produces change.
When I got there, and heard God's word taught, then it just grabbed a hold of my heart and I heard truth.
Taking me down to the place of a child and building me back up within 6 months to a year time to a godly man.
Teach you how to make good decisions, how to prioritize your life.
It's not about finishing a program. It's about you beginning to know Jesus Christ and having a rock that you can stand on.
The very best federally funded secular drug and alcohol programs have a cure rate maybe of 1%. We have been blessed with no less than 63%. We consider somebody totally changed when they're walking in total freedom, no longer dependent upon even tobacco.
You know, that's what the program does, is it gives you complete hope, and it doesn't just take you off the street and clean you up a little bit and put you back.
It is the Lord that is sustaining me. And me walking with the Lord is what's keeping me going.
We find the resources to keep going by the grace of God. It works through the residence fees, which cover a portion, and then the work details that we do, which go out and cover a portion. It's largely underwritten by the gifts and tithes that come to the church.
Seeing that there is someone somewhere, that there are organizations that actually provide legitimate help and gratitude, motivates people to support what it is we're doing.
We are real people
with real stories.
We had real addictions, and we have a true hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ.
Do you or someone you know need God's help in finding freedom from drugs, alcohol, or addiction? Learn more about Calvary Chapel's Residential Discipleship Ministries, Blessed Hope Women's Program, or Seven Oaks Men's Program, or support these life-saving ministries at BlessedHopeWomen'sMinistry.org or SevenOaksTrainingCenter.org.
God's Word is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555. Or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Word daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. You can can also check out our online teaching and available resources or make a donation to help support God's Sword at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.